Welcome to day 40. We are up to Perek Gimel Mishnah Ches, the very last Mishnah in this third Perek of Maseches Peah, and then we will start the fourth Perek together. And we will continue on the topic of halachos that apply even by a karka kolshu, even regarding the smallest amount of land, any amount of land, the halacha would work, so to say, or be triggered. So we are going to see one last case. Says Mishnah Ches, Hakosev Nechasev La'avdo, someone who writes one's possessions, one's belongings, meaning gives one's belongings to one's Eved, to one's servant, Yatza Ben Chorin, the servant goes free. Now, what's important to know here is that from the Torah's perspective, the servant in this case, the Eved Kanani, is considered the property of the master. And I know that this is a topic that can often and should rub our moral sensibilities the wrong way. We're not used to hearing slavery. It's something that's certainly frowned upon. And it's really important to give that topic, slavery in the Torah, when it works, how it works, why it works. It's really important to give that a really proper treatment, which we obviously won't be doing right now. But I do think it's important to note that at the very least, at least one of the approaches is that there were certain practices that were ubiquitously accepted at the time, certainly during biblical times. And in the Torah, in many cases, decided instead of saying this is entirely prohibited, people were doing it anyway. So the Torah says, okay, if you're going to be doing it anyway, this is the way that you ought to do it more morally. And the Torah, all the halachos really point to that as well. And according to many, that is certainly halacha here. Even Rav Shamshal Efer Hirsch points out that when it comes to an Eved Kanani, the entire purpose of the slavery, of the servitude, is to get the Eved towards emancipation. And so the Torah really highly discarded. There are other examples of that, of things that were allowed at the time, and therefore the Torah gave us a more moral way of doing it while still discouraging it, polygamy and other things like that. Again, that's one approach, but it's important to realize this halacha, that even though it sounds strange to us, that an Eved was considered the property of the master. So, going back to our Mishnah, if the owner writes, gives all of his possessions, all of his property to the Eved, well, part of that property is the Eved himself. So we assume that the owner intends to grant the servant his own freedom, and therefore, Yatza ben Chorin, he goes free. But Shiar Karka Kolshu, if the Eved holds back for himself, I'm sorry, if the owner holds back even the smallest amount of land, Karka Kolshu, Lo Yatza Ben Chorin, then the Eved does not go free, because we assume that if the owner was holding anything back, we assume that perhaps he was also holding back the servant's own freedom, and therefore the servant would get, right, would be honored perhaps by that gift. They would be granted whatever the owner gives him, but with interesting halachas applying to that as well. But he would not go free himself. Rabbi Shimon Omer Le'olam Hu Ben Chorin. No, he's even if the owner holds back a little bit, the servant still goes free. Ad Sheyomer, until he specifically says, Harei Kol Nechasim Assumim the Ish Ploni Avdi. I'm going to give all of my nechasim to this to my servant. Chutz Me Echad Mi Ribush Ben. And he says, except for let's say 1/10,000th or one whatever it is of this field, meaning until he specifies what it is that is being withheld. So we assume that maybe within that amount, he also meant to include the slave itself. But if the owner just gives a whole bunch of things, grants a whole bunch of things to the Eved and happens to leave some of it out, some of his possessions out without specifying what they are, then the Eved would go free. That is the end of Perek Gimel. Perek Dalet. We are discussing now, we're switching topics, of course, still within Peah, but we're still, we are discussing how Peah is given. So, says Mishnah Aleph, HaPeah Nitenes B'Mechubar LaKarka. Peah is given when it is still attached to the ground. And we know that halacha. The halacha is that the farmer harvests the field, and when he's harvesting, he leaves a small amount over the corner of the field, about 1/60th or more, still in the ground, still unharvested, so that the poor come and harvest it themselves. That is the halacha. It should still be connected to the ground, and the poor can take it themselves. Bedalus ubedekel. But if we're talking about grapes that are on a trellis, let's say, ubedekel, or a date palm tree, which is very, very high up, bal habayis morid mechalik l'aniyim. Then the bal habayis should go up and harvest the grapes or harvest the dates for the aniyim, for the poor, and then distribute it equally to the aniyim. Why? Because we assume that it's going to be very, very dangerous for the aniyim. The aniyim are there. They want to get food. It could get a little bit, you know, they're all trying to get the food at the same time. And if they were, the trellis is not very sturdy and the date palm is really high up and could be very, very dangerous, right? The goal is not to harm the aniyim. It's to help the aniyim. So in those cases, when it can get dangerous, as the aniyim are trying to vie for that, for that food. So instead, the farmer should do it benachas. The farmer should go up, harvest it, and then distribute it to the aniyim. Technically, by the way, why shouldn't the farmer just take it and then just leave it on the floor? So the answer is that once the farmer is holding the harvested fruit or crop that he now needs to give to the aniyim, we're worried that maybe he might be biased. And he might say, oh, well, I have a friend who's an ani, and once I'm holding it, I'm just going to drop it, you know, closer to that ani, so that that poor person can have an advantage. And we don't want the farmer doing it. So therefore, once the farmer brings it down, the halach is that he has to distribute it equally to all the aniyim, the poor that are there at that moment. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af bechalike, it goes, and the same halach would apply to a walnut tree. Apparently, a walnut tree's trunk is very, very smooth. Again, it would be dangerous for them to vie for it together, and therefore the Baal Hasadah should get it himself and distribute it. Afil tisha mitisha omrim l'chalek. Imagine you have 100 aniyim, 100 poor people, and 99 of them say, you should harvest it for us, please, farmer, you harvest it for us, and then distribute it equally. Echad omer l'boz, and the other one of the 100 people say, no, please leave it in the ground, and we'll harvest it ourselves. Lazeh shomen, we listen to that one person. Amar Kalacha. Why? Because that's really the halacha. It really should be left in the ground. So that person has a preference for it to be left exactly as the halacha said. The idea is that there's a farmer who as is harvesting, realizes that this is not entirely my field, it's Hashem's, and I should be sharing with others. And the way they show that is by not harvesting, by not taking ownership of that piece. That's the ideal way of doing it. So if even one person prefers that the halacha be left as it should be, we listen to that person. If they all say that they prefer it harvested, then fine, they can leave it. The farmer can do that and harvest it. But if even one person says that they want it to be stay in the ground, mechuber lekarka, we listen to that person because that is the halacha. We continue with Mishnah Beis tomorrow.